الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى، اما بعد، اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى ال سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى ال سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى ال سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. One of the signs of spiritual progress is, and as one begins to advance, is that they begin to elevate themselves. So in one way, progress and advancement is synonymous with ascension. And as a person ascends, one by nature, by virtue of being at a higher point, you have a clearer vista, a clearer view of the world around you. And that can be a two-edged sword. Because one of the things that really happens quite often, it's quite dangerous, as a person begins to quote-unquote ascend, and it's actually a cause of quick descension, is that a person sits from where they're at and they hold in view the faults of others. Because they say, look, I'm praying now. Now you can actually look down and look at the person who's not praying. You're also not praying, and the other person's not praying. You're not at any position where you can look and say, oh, that person's not praying. Because you're on equal footing. You might be on lower footing. You say, oh, look at that guy, mashallah, at least he prays. If you're looking from down to up, you might say, look at that person, at least he prays, you know, Jummah. I haven't been to Jummah in weeks. But if you're praying regularly 5 times a day, then you start looking and say, oh, look at that person, he's not even praying. And the quote-unquote higher you go, the easier it is to do this. It's easier, and the more and more tawfiq and hidayah that Allah SWT gives an individual, the more subtle they become in their taqwa, the more refined they come in their own vision, in their basira, it becomes more and more easy to find a difference between how they're living their life and how everyone else is living their lives. So just on the way to the masjid here for Asr, one of the things I noted, sometimes, you know, things are staring you in the face but you don't realize it, is how many trees there are on the way just from my house, which is probably one of the closest places you could live to the masjid to hear, but there's so many trees and so much foliage. And one of the things that you notice with all the trees that line the road on the way over here is that there's leaves and they're arranged in branches and they're arranged in different tiers. There's a branch on here, and then on top of that there'll be another branch, and then all the way on the top there'll be other branches and there are other leaves that sit all the way on the top. But what you'll notice, and particularly on a sunny day, is that you see all the leaves on the top cover the leaves on the bottom, and they provide shade for the leaves that are below them. In fact, the higher you are, you see the more that much more you will cover all of those below you. So for example, if you have the canopy of the Amazon rainforest, if you're all the way in the bottom, you're that leaf, right, that's sitting on the ground. And then there are all these leaves on the top, which are covering the canopy. They catch all the sun, right? So they have all the, you know, you could think of it as they have this qurb to ilallahi azza wa jal. They're getting the anwarat, so on and so forth. But by virtue of them catching all the sun, right, what do they reflect to everyone below them? Is they provide shade for them. They provide shelter for them. And literally they provide cover for them. And so this should really be the attitude and the approach of a person who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants us any amount of hidayah or tawfiq in their life, is that any time they see someone who's not necessarily doing those same things, there's three different levels. Right? There's three different levels. Number one, you should not try to find out the fault of another. And the reason, that's the first level, and then we'll talk about the second and third level. The reason that people like to seek out other people's faults, and this is talked about, is because When a person is becoming pious, just like in everything, other walk of life, people have competition. People also have like to have competition in being more pious. Right? This is not exonerated. And this is, when this happens, this is the shift between your piety for the sake of Allah and piety for the sake of dunya. Right? This is this is very subtle, and it can happen without a person even realizing, but that means that your car that was going on the right track, now you've gone on the wrong track. You still feel like, okay, I'm heading towards California. You still feel like, well, I'm going in the right direction, but you're completely on the different road. Right? And that road is going to fall over a cliff very soon. People like to have this concept of fardiyah. They like to be unique. People like to be, you know, a person has, a sister has a dress, she likes to be the only person wearing that dress in the wedding. Right? If someone else is wearing the same dress, they'll feel so embarrassed because you've lost your uniqueness. Right? In fact, if you wore one dress in one wedding, you can't wear the same dress in the next wedding because everyone saw you in that dress already. Right? That's like it's like not haram, but maybe close to haram in that realm. And that's just a no-no, it's a fashion no-no, you can't do that. Because people want to be unique, they want to be unique in the way they're looked at, they need to be unique the way they dress. So similarly, when people see themselves, or begin to see themselves as righteous, they like to feel special about that. And when someone comes in that territory and tries to infringe on that specialness, so this was the person who everyone listened to their khutbah, this is the person that, you know, everyone used to be like, hey, they have questions, they go to them in society. Some new person comes on the block, right? He has a longer beard. He has a bigger amama. So now the person starts feeling jealous. Now the person starts feeling uncomfortable. Now the person says, oh, who is this person? Where did this person come from? There's one sister where everyone used to say, oh, you know, whenever they had problems, they used to go to her. Another sister come who happens to be an alima now, you know, and everyone's attention turns towards them and they're left, oh, what's going on with me? So now when they look at that new person, they start looking with a critical eye. They start looking with a skeptical eye. And even those things which aren't false become false. And they literally start seeking out, right? And this is a disease, they start seeking out the fault in the other individual. Right? This is many times how this disease develops. This is sort of the ontogeny of where it comes from. And it really stems from that shift when a person's piety stops being for Allah and it starts being for people or starts being for dunya. If it was for Allah, it doesn't matter if you have 500 people, 5,000 people, 5 million people in the room, the bayan is the same. In fact, there's a story of one of the akabir in the work of Da'wah and Tabligh that someone had told me one time that when he had given a big majlis, and I don't know how many thousands of people perhaps there were in that majlis, and he gave, you know, amazing speech, so on and so forth. And then this one person came afterwards and he said, can you give me the talk? Because for some reason he missed it. And he gave it with the same type of fervor and the same type of emotion. And he didn't just give him like the synopsis. And the reasoning behind that is, if this was really for Allah and not for the people, it wasn't a show. Right? It wasn't a show. This is, the show is for Allah. So the same show you put on the first time, you should put on right now. Otherwise it's for people. So that's ikhlas. And when you see these type of shifts, then a person can see that maybe there's some type of khalil or niyyah. And we have to be very careful about ever seeking the fault of another. And, you know, I was reading earlier today, subhanAllah, you know, the Sahaba, you know, how baq they were, how bahir they were, is just amazing. The legacy that Rasulullah left behind in these individuals, it just blows a person away. Because how do you create individuals like that? How do you create character? We talk about character. When you actually look in their lives and see their psychology, see how they live their lives, it's just amazing how you can make that radical transformation. Look at Amirul Mu'mineen, Umar radiallahu anhu. One time he heard a singer, right, a person singing some type of song. So you know Umar radiallahu anhu in his jalal, right? This is happening in his, you know, under his hukumah. This person singing, you know, maybe all type of you know, immoral songs or something like that. So he got mad, perhaps. And then he said that, so he scaled the wall of the person's house and he jumped over and he said, oh, enemy of Allah, you think you can do this? He just took him, he took him to task right there. And so the person looked at him and he said, Ya Umar, he said, it may be true that I disobeyed one order of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but you have disobeyed three orders of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then Umar radiallahu anhu, he gave him the audience. So he said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran, وَلَا تَجَسَّسُوا, and do not spy on others. He said, you spied on me. So Umar radiallahu anhu, he kept quiet. He said, the second thing, he said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَأْتُوا الْبُيُوتَ مِنْ أَبْوَابِهَا, come to the houses from their front door. You didn't come from my front door. You scaled the wall of my house and you came upon me. So you broke this order of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the third one is you didn't take permission, right? لَا تَدْخُلْ بُيُوتَ بُيُوتِهِمْ حَتَّى تَسْتَأْنِسُوا وَتُسَلِّمُوا عَلَىٰ أَهْلِهَا, until you should do istinas and you should do send salam. You didn't do that either. So you broke three rules of Allah, only broke one rule of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Umar radiallahu, when he was told about that, he just left him alone. Right. One time, another time, Umar radiallahu, and the way that Umar radiallahu an, he was described as kind of waqafan in the kitabillah. That, no, I'll give you just an example. That there was a person who was with Umar radiallahu an, and one of the sahabis, and his uncle came in front of Umar radiallahu an, and he wanted some money. And he looked at Umar radiallahu an, and instead of just addressing him as Ya Amirul Mu'mineen, he said, "Eh, Umar, right? Eh, Umar, give me from the wealth that Allah has given you." Something very rude like this. When he talked like that to Umar radiallahu an, his also ego, maybe not ego, but he also got very offended. He was going to make a lunge at this person. What do you think you are? You're in front of Amirul Mu'mineen, you're talking like this, and then. Because it was hard to get audience with Umar radiallahu anhu, but because of this sahabi, his nephew, he asked Umar radiallahu anhu, he got audience from him, he got him a chance, and after all of that, he acted like this, in this type of impetuous manner. So, and then when this was about to happen, the nephew, he recited, قُذِ الْعَفْوَ وَأْمُرْ بِالْعُرْفِ, قُذِ الْعَفْوَ وَأْمُرْ بِالْعُرْفِ وَعَارِضْ عَنِ الْجَاهِلِينَ وَهَذَا مِنَ الْجَاهِلِينَ. That take with the way, he recited the verse in the Quran, that take by the way forgiveness, right? And then you enjoin good, and turn away from those people who are jahilin. Maybe the middle is not the correct translation, but turn away from the jahils. And وَهَذَا مِنَ الْجَاهِلِينَ, he is a jahil, he said about his own uncle. And when he said that, what's that called, Umar radiallahu anhu, he was about to lunge at him, and he literally stopped. And then he said, then that's how described him, كَانَ وَقَّافًا. Right, and if you understand the Arabic, it's the mubalagha in this, the pattern of fa'al. It does not walk if you don't just stand. But he just like, you stop in your tracks, كَانَ وَقَافًا عِنْدَ كِتَابِ اللَّهِ, in front of the kitab of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he would just stop. Meaning, you recite one verse in the Qur'an, he'd change his entire life based on that one verse. And that was their adherence to the Qur'an. So another time, for example, Umar radiallahu anhu, he was out with, Abdurrahman bin Auf radiallahu anhu. And they were walking, and they passed by a house where they saw the door was ajar a little bit, and the lights were on. And he said, Umar radiallahu anhu, and he asked, whose house is this? And Umdurrahman bin Auf, I think he said it was Rabia bin Khalaf or something like that. It's one of her house, and he said, basically they're sitting in there drinking. So he said that, what do you think you should do about this right now? And then... Oh, and then he realized the verse of the Quran, وَلَا تَجَسَّسُوا, right? And do not spy. And he said, no, we spied, so what should we do now? And he said, no, yeah, we spied. And so he said that, I'll just leave. So he just left. He didn't say a word. Another time, just example after example, one time, okay, Umar radiallahu anhu, he came, I hope I didn't mix that story up, but another time, Umar radiallahu anhu came up on an old man. Hazrat, oftentimes he says, what is the phrase he used? He says, there's white hair on our heads and our beards, basically, but under siyahi hair, right? Like you have these young desires, but even though you're old on the outside. So, and it's like a play on words, because siyahi is blackness. So inside you're also blackened by your sin and these, fresh desires that a 20-year-old would have to do these evil type of things, but it's also this type of youth that a person has in the inside. So he came upon this old man, and he was sitting with wine, and he was drinking something of a cup. And the way it's described, he didn't say it's wine, but basically it was wine. And he had a young slave girl, like a young girl who was sitting there, a slave girl, and she was singing songs to him. So So he saw that, and he saw this light, you know, burning in the distance. And Umar radiallahu anhu, he was like this. He would make the rounds amongst the ummah to see what the ahwal of the ummah is, what the ahwal, whoever needs help, he would help them. He would do it himself. So when he saw this, he saw this fire burning from afar. He went over there and he saw this, and then he went up to the person. He said, "I've never seen a more ugly sight than this." He said, "Look, kya kar rahe ho, yaar? I mean, you're an old man. You're sitting here with wine. You're going to die soon, and you're still immersing yourself in sin. What are you doing?" So then the man, he retorted, right? There was like the Arab blood in him, right? They also don't back down. So he said, "I've never seen a more uglier sight than what you've done. That you came over here without permission and you're spying on me." So Umar radiallahu anhu, he walked away and he bit his garment and he started crying. And he was crying and he said, "Ya Umar," he said, "you know, you're basically destroyed. Who will save, you know, who will save the son of your mother now?" You know, basically he was just crying. He said, "This person was hiding from his family in committing this sin. And now that he sees me, he knows that I found out, then what's going to stop him now?" Because he said, "If Umar has seen me already, what's the big deal now? People know about it, I'm just going to..." Because he was doing it on the outskirts, right? Hiding from the people. He's like, "No, you walked on," he said, "No, you ruined him." And so this one person, but when he said that, Umar radiallahu anhu, he just walked away. He didn't say a second word. He didn't say, "You better leave it." He didn't, he said that, "If I leave you, then," I don't know if this story or another example, but anyway, he went away. And this person stopped coming to the majlis of Umar radiallahu anhu for some time. He stopped coming, until after a while, finally one person, he came, right? This person, this old man came. And he walked in a very surreptitious manner. He said, in a very incognito manner, he sat all the way in the back of the majlis. But Umar radiallahu anhu, he noticed that he came. So then he summoned that person. He said, "Go call that person to the front." So then he came a little bit up. No, he said, "No, come more." He said, "Come more." He kept on calling him closer, 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 until he came right up next to Umar radiallahu anhu. And then he leaned over and he whispered in his ear. He said, "That day, what I saw you doing, me and Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, what we saw you doing, till this day, we've never mentioned it to anyone else. Never mentioned it to anyone else." And then the person, he leaned back towards Umar radiallahu anhu and he whispered in his ear. And he said, "By he who sent Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as his messenger with the truth," you know, he like swore, and he said that, "I've never told anyone." And so he took a halaf back, right? And he took yameen back to him that, "No, Allah," he took an oath back, that's the word, right? He took an oath back to him that, "Since that day, I've never committed that sin as well." So sometimes just through the barakah of, you know, one thing is you can tell someone the right thing to do. And you know, if a person's involved in, I mean, I've dealt with people who are involved, Muslims who are involved in drinking, for example. And I can't tell you, even though they desperately might want to stop, it's very difficult. It's very difficult. It's like a cyclical thing. You get off and they come back in. And marijuana is the same way. These other things, it's very difficult to get people off. You could have told him so many things. But that clemency that he showed him in that one moment, it was enough. In that one moment, in that barakah of listening, you know, following the order of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not going by one's aqal, but just following what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants you to do in any particular situation, transform that person's life. You could have given 15 bayans. That person could have come to Umar radiallahu anhu's majlis for 15 years, and he might have still been involved in the same sin behind the doors. But that one act, right, of rahmah, and that one act of ittiba of the Qur'an changed a person's life. And the secret behind that is not us who change people, it's Allah. And when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala becomes happy, He changes people, even though it's totally not from us. And I remember one other example, in fact, another example about Umar radiallahu anhu. And that was when, it was also with Abdurrahman bin Auf, and I think it's in Kanzul Ammar, that there was a person who used to come and he didn't see him for a long time. So Umar radiallahu anhu, he said to Abdurrahman bin Auf, "Let's go see him." When people come to masjid regularly and they don't come, then you say, "What's going on with this brother?" So they went to his house, and they went to, the door was ajar, so you could see in. And he saw his wife pouring some drink into a cup. So you don't know what the drink is. So the person said, so Umar radiallahu anhu, he didn't go further and see that. He said, this is what's been keeping this person from coming to our masjid. Basically, it was wine. But he said that, oh my God, we spied. So then the person, or this might be spying or something like that. He said, no, it's confirmed we spied. Right? They were just straight shooters. And they said, look, we made a mistake. He said, what should we do now? He said, we should not tell anyone about what we saw. And number two, we should only think good of him. Right? And so they just left. They just turned back and left. So that first step I said is that we should not follow any other person's faults. Not try to dig up their mistakes, not to dig up their things. And these are all examples, right, from Umar radiallahu anhu and so on and so forth, which, you know, so beautifully exemplify this characteristic of, forget about trying to follow and find out someone's fault, right? But even accidentally, if you come upon a person's fault, to just turn away and walk away, it's none of your business. It's absolutely none of your business. And I'll tell you the other reason that sometimes people like to... So one thing is this, because a person is jealous and that drives a person to find another person's fault. The other thing is curiosity. They say in this country that curiosity killed the cat. This is the same type of curiosity where, you know, that marketing people know very well. So for example, there'll be a main article and they know on the sides, they'll put all these snippets, right? One-liners, right? You know, model from the 80s who are still highly desired, or they'll put some snippet, they just put a little bit, and then the thought comes and a person starts getting curious. They don't want to see anything haram, but they're like, who is this person that's still, you know, very popular now, even though they're from the 80s? Or they'll say something other, they give you just one small thing, and that curiosity, right, it drags you in. In very much the same way, say there's a person in the society, you know him, X, Y, and Z, then there's something juicy going on. You catch whiff of it. Then a person wants to know more. Right? A person wants to know. So a person sitting with the other person, so they said, oh, you know, I saw such and such person X, Y, and Z place. So now the person, as soon as they mention it, now they're like, okay, so what happened? What did they do? What were they doing? That you want to know the next step. مِنْ حُسْنِ الْإِسْلَامِ الْمَرْءِ تَرْكُهُ مَا لَا يَعْنِي. From the goodness of a person, if someone says something like that, you just walk away. Right? You don't ask the second question. Don't ask for any further information. If you happen to come across that headline, right, don't open the article. Right? So if you come up on the headline from some person's life, by mistake, you open up an email, something happened, whatever, that headline comes, don't open up the article. Delete the email. Right? Just delete the email. Delete it from your mind, delete it from your heart, it's over. Because that's what Umar radiallahu anhu did, right? He didn't ask to see what is going in the cup. Although, by all seemings, you knew what was being poured in. But maybe it was coffee. Who knows, right? Maybe it was shay. Who knows? So you just walk away. Don't chase it to its end. And the second thing is, if you happen to really find out something like that, don't think less of the other person. Don't think less of the other person. Just try to think good thoughts about him. Just say, oh, maybe like this. And just twist the world upside down so that you can make a good picture of that. And that's how Rasulullah was. One time with one of his wives, he mentioned something. I think it was one of his wives was a Sahaba. And he said, don't mention such and such about people, because when I come to them, I like to meet them with an open heart. That's the way he would like to maintain with every person. So if you happen to find out something which is unsettling, just forget it. And just think that it didn't happen. Just see them as regular person. And this was, I think, also Umar radiallahu anhu, because, you know, there was a woman who had done some type of really bad thing. Maybe she fornicated or something like that, you know, and she had gone to the Had already for that. And then, what's that called? A person came and asked Umar radiallahu anhu that, you know, someone has come and asked for a rishta or proposal for such and such person. I don't feel comfortable telling them without telling him what had happened. And Umar radiallahu anhu, he said, conceal for her and present to her as you would present any other righteous girl and chaste girl from your family. Matlab, just you treat her with a clean slate. Who knows, maybe they make... Okay, fine, you saw them drinking. Maybe they make tawbah. Maybe they make tawbah, right? So now they're like a normal Muslim. Give the benefit of the doubt. Everyone makes mistakes. The scholar makes mistakes. The regular person makes mistakes. The shaykh mistakes. Everyone makes mistakes. And people make tawbah. You're going to see the mistake, but you never see the tawbah. just assume that people make tawbah. And if they make, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has wiped the slate clean, then who are we to hold on to all these grudges that, oh, this person, you know, he gives bayan, this person goes and gives da'wah, he does this and that himself. Maybe he did it last week and he's not doing it anymore. Who knows? That night he might have gone home and cried to Allah. So the second thing is you think good of the other person. And the third thing is that you should try to cover for the other person. Right? So you go one step other. Just like those leaves who are on the top. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives you some type of, you know, elevation or ascension, He gives you a type of status, the dictate of that status is you should become a cover for all the Muslimin. I'll just give you one story and then we'll end. A beautiful example of this is Hazrat Muawiyah radiallahu anhu. He one time wrote a letter to Hazrat Abu Darda radiallahu anhu. And he said to Hazrat Abu Darda radiallahu anhu, he said, write to me the names of all the criminals of Dimashq. Right? Send me a list of all the criminals of Dimashq. So Hazrat Abu Darda radiallahu anhu, he says, what have I to do with the criminals of Dimashq? I don't know who they are. His son found out. He says, I know who they are. I know who they are. You know how, like, even at that time, you know how kids are very savvy about these things. They know what's going on. They're with the times. So he wrote the whole list and he brought it to his father. And he says, how do you know who the criminals are? Right? If you do not keep their company, how do you even know who the criminals are? That means you're also one amongst them. Put your name first on the list. Put your name first on the list. And so he never sent the list to Muawiyah radiallahu anhu. This is the way the Sahaba used to cover for all the Muslims. So if a person sees something unruly for another person, they should cover it from the sight of others and cover it even from their own heart and their own sight. And just think good about the Muslim. This is the way that you bring muhabbah in the community. This is the way that you bring, you know, people talk about building unity and building brotherhood. You're not going to be able to do it if you're looking for fairness. You're not going to be able to do it if you're looking for justice. You have to be unfair. Right? You have to be unjust. Matlab, all the evidence points one way. You ignore all the evidence and say, no, I just love him, he's my brother. Oh, I just love her, she's my sister. You know, when a person does that, then it's really easy to show true muhabbah for another person, right? Because it's natural now. So many times we meet people, there's so much artifice in it. It's just fake because, oh, assalamu alaikum, brother in Islam, alhamdulillah, this, that. Inside you're thinking all these other thoughts. That's munafaqah. Inside, the way that you're showing the face outside, your heart should also be just like that, shining and happy towards them. That's how Rasulullah like to meet people. And when you can do that for others, you automatically win people. Right? You automatically win people. I said that was the last story, so it's the second to last story maybe. Because there's another story that came into my mind. Recently there was this one person that I met after a long time. And this sort of puts the nail in the coffin. It highlights the same point. That I met after a long time. One of my old friends. And, you know, so I really have a lot of muhabbah for this person. Right? So much love for this person. So I sort of went out of my normal schedule because, you know, I'm generally very regimental about my schedule. I don't talk to people. I don't spend time. There's no frivolity. You know, it's just business, business, business. So I really sort of, just to spend time with him, you know, and then he said, you know, if it's too much for you, don't call. And I said, you know, I think I replied to him something like, you know, just a certain point in life that you know, you realize that when there's people that you care about and you have a chance to spend time with them, then do so because they might not be there, you know, at any other time. Just take the opportunity when you have it. And so I just spent time with him. And I don't know if I really said anything special or did anything special. But later on, the person he told me the other time, it was very touching. He said, I've been thinking about you the entire day. I've been thinking about you the entire day. My witr du'as are for you. Right? And I didn't ask for du'as. I mean, but it was, and I just told him, it's like, you know, what do I have except something that I have inside? You don't say it, but you feel it. And that's sometimes more powerful than anything that you can bring to the table. So being that open-hearted towards the Muslimin, right, our fellow brothers and Muslims, I mean, this was easy because this was natural. But we should try to become natural to all our brothers, right? Really have that care and open-heartedness towards them. So we pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cleanses our hearts, makes us amongst those who save themselves from spying, from saving themselves from finding the faults in others, who are more concerned with their own faults than the faults of others, that don't carry or harbor any ill thoughts or bad feelings towards another mu'min, and that he makes us amongst those who are the canopy for all the muslimin, who provide cover for their faults. Okay, this is actually very munasib to when I said cover, actually remember this one more story. So I'll just mention it, inshallah, and then we'll close. There was a person who had a slave girl who had fornicated. So his slave girl had fornicated, and the master was so mad that he said, "I'm going to take her to and get her the hud, right? I'm going to take her to the governor. I'm going to take her to the hakim." So on the way, he met Anas bin Malik radiallahu anhu, and Anas bin Malik he said, no, don't do it. He said, "No, I'm going to take her and get her the punishment." He said, "No, don't do it." He kept on convincing her, And the way that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he raised the sensitivity to conceal for other Muslims, is by, there's a hadith to the effect that when you conceal from another person, it's like bringing someone who's buried to life. Right? So imagine when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says something like that, what that did to the jawsh, to the hausla, to the ambitions of the sahaba. So that's why Anas bin Malik, the person's going there. What business was it of Anas bin Malik radiallahu anhu? It makes no difference to him that some servant girl got something. But no, they felt it from inside, that this was the right thing to do. And he kept on insisting, stopping until the person went back. Right? He said, "Just conceal for her. Just cover her up. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, may He make us amongst those who cover for others so that He will cover for us on the day of Qiyamah. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Spend a little bit of time every week, inshallah, in the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When I say salawat, we just send durood on Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If I recite another dua or another verse from the Quran, a person can just recite it and then just think about the meaning to themselves. For example, La ilaha illa anta subhanaka inni kuntu min al-zalimeen. This is the dua that Yunus alayhi is in the Quran. It's one that Yunus alayhi salam made when he was in the stomach of the whale, and this was the source of his najat. That no, there is no Lord except for you. Subhana, glory be to you. Inni kuntu min al-zalimeen. Indeed, I am from those who did zulm on their own self. We can think of all the different ways that we do zulm on our own self on a daily basis, right? So. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم صلوات بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم حسبنا الله ونعم الوكيل بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم صلوات بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا خفي اللطف أدركني بلطفك الخفي بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم صلوات بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم صلوات بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم لا إله إلا أنت سبحانك إني كنت من الظالمين بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم صلوات بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا حي يا قيوم برحمتك أستغيث بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم صلوات بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم رب لا تضعني فردا وأنت خير الوارثين بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم صلوات بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والله ذو فضل على المؤمنين بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم صلوات بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إنا لله وإنا إليه راجعون بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم صلوات بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الله ولي الذين آمنوا بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم صلوات بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والله ولي المؤمنين بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم صلوات اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. Spend just a few minutes remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in our hearts. لا إله إلا الله محمد رسول الله اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. So announcement was, inshallah, we'll be meeting next Sunday at the same time. And for those who are interested, there will be, inshallah, a program in Miami the weekend of May 10th. So it's probably going to be an evening talk and then itikaf program and then probably up to Fajr and then back to Tampa. So I think that's it for announcements. Jazakumullah khair.